Matthew chapter 13. And we'll read a few verses, and then we'll go over to Luke chapter 8 for just a moment and look a couple of verses. And I think you'll be glad you came tonight. Father, we open this precious book again. Lord, this is a time that's valuable because it's our life. And we must invest it in valuable things. And what better things to do than the Word of God, that God can speak to our heart as the Word is proclaimed. The Holy Spirit uses that, not only as far as to use lips of clay to teach it, but also have ears to hear that would go further than just the mental aspect, but fall upon the heart that we might know the things of God freely. Now, Lord, please help us to grow tonight in grace and knowledge. Let this not be a time of wasted, but invested. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look with me in Matthew chapter 13, we'll read down about verse 10 through 7. And the disciples came and said unto him, that is unto Christ, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Notice the question now as he taught parables. And then he says, it's for them to know the mystery. Now watch verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a very important verse of Scripture for us to look at. Sometimes we mismatch that and say, well, you know, is God talking about that if we have things, he's going to give us more things, and if we don't have any things, he's not going to give us anything but take away what we've had? And someone put economics. No, that's not talking about economics here, and you'll see that in a few minutes. It's talking about something very important that God gives to you and I, and as we use it, he gives us more. Notice again, he said now, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. If you have this, he shall give you more, and you will have abundance of it. Notice what he said, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that he hath. In other words, if you don't have what he's talking about, anything that you did have be taken away. Watch. And he said, therefore speak God to them in parables, because they see and see not, hear and they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people, heart is waxed gross. Now, why is it they cannot see, and they cannot hear? And because he says, verse 15, their heart, these people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They did this. God didn't do it. They did this. In the very place of being blessed by God to be more for his kingdom, they refused to do what he said and use what they had, and therefore he gives this indictment. He said, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. Notice that, understand with the heart. Most people think you have to understand intellectualism. No, it's not necessarily understanding here. This is where you get it through the channel, but it comes more to the heart. That is the center of a person that you form your lives around what he said. Converted eyes should hear them. He said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He's talking to the disciples here. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now turn, if you will, to Gospel Luke in chapter 8 and read three verses. And we find this down verse 16, 17, and verse 18. Jesus said, no man, when he hath lighted the candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that which entered in may see the light. That is, what God gives us manifests is who he is, and we who are part of the family of God love to come to the light, and we're not ashamed for what people sees in that light through us. Those in darkness don't like the light. It manifests their evil deeds. But those who are in Jesus Christ and loves Christ, who is the light of the world, and he manifests his light through us so others may see him. And he says, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that should not be known and come abroad. Now watch verse 18. My text comes from there. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. He said, for whosoever hath to him, there it is again. A little different way of presenting it than Matthew, But he said, take heed how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, that even that which he seems to have. My text is simply this: take heed therefore how you hear. And God says again, in this case, he said, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away. There's something about the manifestation of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. As we reflect that light in our lives, that God says, when you do that, I'm going to give you more. When you obey me, I'm going to give you more. People are going to see the light's going to get brighter and brighter and brighter. That means those in darkness will not like you to be around them. Have you ever sometimes I get around certain people and they just, I don't have to say a thing. Just be there. You know why? Your light's shining a little brighter. You go into a dark place. Many times been on visitation, you walk up somewhere and talk to someone, and all of a sudden you see people, when you walk up, average person walk up, all of a sudden you see them try to hide something. It's nothing uncommon to be somewhere or another, especially summertime out when it's cool, and you walk up and they start hiding their drinks and the things that they have, you know, or try to change its atmosphere a little bit. You know why? You didn't have to say anything. When you get up talking to them, they say, you know, I know you were a Christian. I knew you was a preacher or something when you came up. You ever had that say? If you go soul winning, you will. In other words, the light broke into their darkness, and the only thing they knew to do was hide it because they were not going to conform to it. And so that's what Jesus is talking about here as we shine before the Lord, before him. You see, while not everyone is called to preach, not everyone is called to teach, everyone is called to listen. And that's what Jesus said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Everyone, and of course today, listen to biblical preaching has fallen hard times. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Maybe by not being a preacher, you don't know that. But it's fallen on hard times. Ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be a disconnect between the pew and the pulpit, or between the preacher, the teacher, and the people who listen. Because many times we got many things on our mind other than what's coming from the pool or the pulpit or from the teacher's stand. Here tonight, you got a lot of things over your mind. You're not going to hear all I say. You're going to hear in part and probably get crossed up a little bit if your mind's somewhere else. And we're going to look at some of those things about how we hear. You see, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible teaches us that for every one of us, and of course, I have to understand this. He's talking, turn there with me. I want you to see this. And I'm working a message around this now, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But you see, in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, when the Lord talks about presenting our bodies and living sacrifice and so forth. He said, it's reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed under your mind, that you might prove what that good and perfect accepted will of God, or the accepted and perfect will of God. And he said in verse 3, and Paul said, I say unto you, through the grace given unto me to every man, he said, that is among you. Now, every man doesn't mean the whole race. If you go back and look in chapter 1 up to this time, you'll find he's talking about those who are saved. He's talking about those in the family of God. They're the only ones who are going to do verse 2 anyhow. The world's not going to be transformed. They're trying to conform rather than transform. Be not conformed to this world. They'd rather be conformed to the world. He's talking about those who have the heart to hear what God is saying. And he said, notice this, every man that is among you, not among you, again, among the, this is the church at Rome and any other child of God, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according that as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members, that tells me who this every man is, the we, Paul includes himself, is talking about the members of the body of Christ in verse 4. So we've been many as one body in Christ in verse 5, and every one member of another. Having then the gifts differed according to the grace which is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, and of course minister, let us wait. But every man has God has dealt to every man the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. That simply says that when you and I trust Christ as our personal Savior, God gives us the measure of faith all the same. Now, what you do with that from there on out will determine how this falls in line, what we're talking about here in Romans and Luke and also in Matthew. Take heed what you hear, how that whatsoever you have to him shall be given. If you take that measure of faith and begin to use it by growing and being able to use of God, then trust him, because you won't do anything for God unless you trust him. And it won't be without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You've got to have a channel of faith. And God gives us a measure of faith to start with. And he says, how you use that measure of faith, where you get more faith, where you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And if you will, then you'll have more, and you'll have more, and you'll find closer, and then you find that your relationship with God becomes more than just someone who is just, say, quote, I'm a Christian, that's it. Because the growth of a Christian must start. And God says, if I have, you get that measure of faith, put it together, and you don't develop it, then what you have, you lose. Because you won't use it. It's like the body. If you've got something in your body as a muscle and you don't ever use it, it will almost die on you. You don't exercise your muscles long in your leg, you won't be able to walk before long. You're going to have to do something to keep those muscles exercised. And same thing when it comes to this thing of faith. So I believe there are several reasons, though, why for a decline in the hearing of sound preaching. Sound doctrine is important. The Bible talks about sound doctrine. And sound doctrine is biblical-oriented, with God inspired for us to understand. Now, doctrine is important. Part of the problem, I agree, that it may rest with preachers who do not spend the time to study, or maybe somebody who doesn't spend the time. Listen, you can't teach this book without studying it. You just can't do it. There's none of us have the prophetic mind to just listen to God at night and give it the next day. God has documented everything in this book that we need to know, and it'll take a studying of it, because you'll find most of the time when you read on the surface, there's more to it than just what you see on the surface. And studying will cause you to look under the surface, and when you do that, you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and you find yourself lining up with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, our soul, and our body. The body, the flesh, would be the further end, because we get all of our information, if not most, it applied from the throne of God by the Holy Spirit of God. The perfect alignment is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus said, bridge the place for you and I between the spiritual and the physical world. And then our soul has been quickened, made alive. And you've heard me say many times, then the Spirit of God is made alive unto God, the soul has been quickened, and then the body is to be controlled with this alignment. And we have the power to do that. Sometimes, though, the child of God may reverse a little bit. We try to put the body in a place where the Spirit, if we let the flesh have more power than the Spirit, then the flesh will dominate us. If we let the Spirit have more power than the flesh, we're going to be more like God wants us. We will make that decision. God will not make that decision for us, but He will do what He said in His promises. He'll save that person who trusts Him, and at the same time, He'll help that person grow in grace and knowledge and have more faith stronger if He'll apply and use it for God's glory. If not, God says, you won't grow any further, and what you have be taken away. I mean, what use is to have the measure of faith in fullness if you're not going to use it? Are you understanding, folks? God is not hard on us. He's just instructing to us. And He said this to the disciples at this particular time. But you know, whereas the lack of effective preparation may be a problem in our particular day, and the subjects may be something that has to more cater to the flesh, for people can get the pie in the sky rather than what God has to say. But on the other hand, I'll tell you, their contributing factor is the culture that we're on. We're weaned on video games and television and blockbuster movies. I get it right. Or iPods, or cell phones, or whatever we have. And we have so many things, we don't know what we have, do we? By the time we get something, we want something else. Someone's come out. You know why? Because it's money-making. Now, they're good to have. I'm glad I got a phone where I can call without having to go to the store. Years ago, we had to go to the store to get a phone, to make a phone call, because we didn't have a phone. Anybody remember that? Or if you did get on the phone, you had 15 others on the party line. You better watch out what you're going to say. But now, we have right on our hips, do we? We have been better than just a phone. We can communicate in a lot of ways. But when you look at these, ladies and gentlemen, what is going on here in our society is a lot more interesting in the flesh than to hear a preacher preach. Now, I would say, I've never seen anybody so interested in this that they've just tied up what I was saying. But I've seen people on that, they were on the that texting stuff. And they'll get all, have you ever looked at somebody? You ever see someone watch them? They'll get into that thing. Then all of a sudden they get, I don't know who they're talking to. I seen somebody walk down the street the other day, and there's two people walk down the street side by side, and they weren't talking to each other, but they were texting each other. I don't understand that. I'd rather say something to somebody's face and say it through a machine, hadn't you? At least I get tired of machines just calling people on the telephone. I don't love to talk to a machine. I'm not a machine. Amen? It just, you know, when you talk to a machine, it's already programmed. I like to talk to an individual. So I know these are factors involved as far as we're concerned. For preaching to be effective, the preacher must deliver God's word, and there must be some power behind it, and pray that God to give Holy Ghost power. And the hearer must listen with spiritual anointed ears. So we go to the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. You find the Bible says, numerous times, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Revelation 2, he says that in verse 17, verse 11, verse 17. In Revelation 3, he says it in verse 6, verse 13, and verse 72. And of course, in chapter 2, he says it in verse 29. Seven times, the seven churches, he said, let the church hear what the Spirit says unto the, let a person hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Now, when I think about Luke chapter, again, 18, or chapter 8, I see Jesus like he was in Matthew, talking in parables, preaching and teaching in parables. A parable is a story that teaches something new by putting the truth beside something familiar in one's mind or in one's life. That is, if he gives me something I can see, if he tell me a truth and put this plan in that I can see, I can understand as it's thrown alongside of it better than looking through eyes of faith when I have maybe less faith and seeing things that God wants me to see spiritual about myself. He gives us physical things that he can take and mention that we're familiar with, see how they operate, and then understand from a spiritual standpoint, God is saying, somehow or another, that will help you understand what's happening in the spiritual world. And since you're born again, you are a spiritual being. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I, in the image of God, is the only person or only created of God that has a spirit and a soul? Animals don't have a spirit. They have flesh as far as the soul is concerned, of life. It's in the flesh as far as life is concerned. But animals don't have. You and I have a spirit. That means we have the means of being connected to God through the method that God says for us to be connected. We can be born again. No animal can be born again. We're the image of God. I didn't come from an animal. I may act like one once in a while, but I didn't come from one. And I should know better in the image of God. Amen? And should we all not know better? And I think there's all of us could say there have been times I may have acted more like an animal than the image of God.
That's right.
Amen. Let's be honest, folks. We need help. We need help. Maybe not like the world, but we still need help, even as God's children. These stories arouse the interest of the concern. The child of God should be concerned. Lord, what is it I need to know? How do I need to approach thee, even as a child of God? The indifferent people shrug it off. The indifferent people don't like anything around them that reaches the heart. And that's the thing about this book. They think somehow or another that we are just dominating them if they don't conform to what we say do. But it isn't not us. You and I have no power beyond words. But I'll tell you this. If you talk to someone about Jesus Christ, if you talk to someone and read this Bible and people's here, and ladies and gentlemen, there's more than words. They're powerful words that can cut asunder even the spirit and the soul. And so it's powerful enough to get a person that when you lead that word, still bothers them. So they don't want you or the word around them unless they're willing to conform to it. Because the word brings convictions. You and I can't bring conviction in somebody's heart. You know, we're just human beings against human beings. But the power of God can do that. And if God helps us when to see that when we really stand true through the Word of God. Understanding parables demands honesty and humility on our part. The mirror of God's Word becomes a window through which we can see God's way and God's grace. Those who don't have that think that we're off the rocker. They think we're crazy. They look at it as being foolish because they think we're following around imaginary God. They can't see who the true God is until their eyes are opened by faith. And it takes faith. Faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the mirror of God's word becomes a window through which we can see God's way and grace. And when we see his way and his grace, ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin to see ourselves. And that's something we'll see. We'll have to begin to make some changes because we want the one that shows us himself and then shows us ourselves. We see what he's done for us. We want to please him. I know that. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, this explains why some become angry. They do not like what they see. And it's serious business and a serious thing to be here, to hear and understand God's word and not obey it. As a matter of fact, here one is obligated to respond. Once we ever hear the word of God, we're obligated. Now, I can say no, or I can say yes. Either way, I'm obligated. If I say no, that's worse for me. If I say yes, that's better for me. But I have to understand it's my obligation. It's my responsibility to respond to the truth that I hear, because God will never burglarize our will to be saved. He will never burglarize our will to learn if we don't want to do that. And yet, he gives us that incentive to want to do that. This is what verse 18 is saying. God gives more when God's word is shared and used. Take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he's talking about hearing here. Those who obey in that which they know is truth, the more God's going to give. I can understand that. I mean, if you had someone you're going to do something for, and you did something for them, and they didn't use that in the right way, or didn't use it all, put it on the shelf, said, I don't want that, I don't care for that, it don't help me in my life, why would you do anything else for them? And God is saying the same thing for you and I. He said, hey, I'll give you a measure of faith, use that, and when you hear the word and see the obligation that you have before me, if you respond right, I'll give you more, and I'll give you more. But if you don't respond for more, then you have the possibility of losing what you've already got. How's that? You forget it. That's one way. There's been a lot of stuff you learned in school, you forgot why you didn't use it. Right? And God has said the same thing. If we measure faith we have, if we don't use it, it becomes stalemate. It looks as if not there. And we'll forget. You know why we know that we need to worship God? Because he tells us to. If we didn't believe that, sooner or later we'd quit worshiping. You know that? It'd be easy to do that because the flesh would slip right in and take us away. The flesh is more powerful than we are unless we use the power in us to fight against the flesh. And we know greater is he in us, not we ourselves, but greater is he in us than he is in the world. Our power would come because we use the power that's available according to what God dictates to our heart. So here we are obligated to respond. So we must share and use what we understand about God's word or lose it. Matthew 13, 12 and Luke 8, 18 both tells us that. Then this is what verse 18 is saying. God gives more when God's word is shared and used. And these parables give light to the trusting, searching heart. But yet, to a person who refuses this light, it brings darkness to the unconcerned and unrepentant. What it does for us who accept it gives us more light, more power, more understanding. But to the one who rejects it, it brings more darkness because Satan fills the gap. And it's harder to reach a person after he's tried to be reached and he's gone to and he's gone to and he's gone to. And you say no long enough, it's harder to reach. So that's the reason it's harder to reach older folks than it is young folks. Because they've had a lifetime of saying no somewhere or another, and it gets easier. When you don't want something, and you decide you don't want it, and you say no to it for a period of time, no is easy to say. But when God comes on the scene, all of a sudden you feel convicted. If you're still going to say no, don't bring the Bible around me. Don't come with that religious stuff around me. Get those commandments out of the courtyard. Get those commandments out of the buildings of public places. And they're trying their hard to try their best to do that. They're doing it more than ever. Matthew 13, 11 says, mysteries is a spiritual truth understood only by divine revelation. And so I'm looking here at this thing of take heed how you hear. First of all, how do we listen then? We have to listen by faith. That's the first thing. Hebrews 2, 4, verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, speaking of the Old Testament, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith, there's the word, in them that heard it. They didn't mix it with faith. They knew God was saying it, but they didn't mix it by faith, and therefore they did not obey. And God had to come in later to show that when you don't obey through faith, then he will show he still means what he says, and he did to Israel. And Israel's example that we can look at in our day. We have to remember that preaching is God's appointed means to save those that believe. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21 tells us that. He even says that the world, when you look at that, it's foolish, but to us it's the power of God. And I love the way Paul put that. First of all, he said in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. Why is it? Because they see nothing but darkness. And when they hear the cross message, they rebel and then more darkness come in instead of light. And he said, they perish foolish, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. It's entirely different to those who trust Christ as their Savior. Verse 21 said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't that amazing? What I'm doing right now to this world is foolish. But to those who are saved, you understand it's a needed thing because it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So it is important to listen with ears of faith if you expect to profit by a sermon or by the Word of God. Then the second thing, we have to listen with amazing to God's Word. Amazement to God's Word. This book amazes me. The deeper I get into it, the more I'm amazed about what God is doing. This is how the Thessalonians listened when Paul wrote to them. And he said this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. He said, when ye receive the word of God, which you heard of us. Now here, Paul is preaching, and he's writing a letter. Now he said, and the Holy Spirit inspired, when you receive the word of God, which he said we preached unto you, you receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in the truth. That's the difference. The world receives it as the words of men. But God says through faith, you receive it as the word of God. And that will cause one to be transformed, to conform to the image that God has called us to, which will measure us more faith, stronger faith than we had than when we just got saved. And so he said, therefore, it's given to us that we may grow thereby. And so never forget that the Bible and the preacher, the Bible, the preacher is preaching it, is God's holy word. Ladies and gentlemen, when I read this book, I may make comments on it and try to stay within context, but this is the absolute word of God. And so when you see it read and hear it read, it is God. And you've got an intellectual ability. If you're saved, you've got more than just a measure of faith. You've been saved long enough, you've only grown some. And God will open your spiritual eyes to understand these deep things, even though it may be presented in a parable form. He helps us understand, and he does what he can do to help us understand it much better. So never forget that the Bible the preacher preaches from is from the Word of God. And then the third thing, we need to listen with a prayerful attitude. When young Samuel in the Old Testament heard God's voice, he prayed, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9. We should have a willingness to obey whatever God says to us in context, not out of context. Context is important in Bible study. You don't have to read much before and after or in the Bible as his own commentary to understand what context is about any subject. If you want to misread to please the flesh more, you can take things out of context and say it's God's word because it's written in the Bible, but it not be God's word because it's taken for the wrong reason. We look at it, take it out of context because that fits us better. I'll give you an example. You take Matthew 13, talking about the seed of God's word that's sown. There was a time that was only the gospel. Jesus interpreted that parable. Where it fell, good ground, you know, stone ground by the wayside, etc. And then some fell on good ground. But today, one of the mass movements of religion is using that seed is money. You sow money and you get so much back. You sow a little and get a whole lot back. When this is mainly talking about the gospel. It's the gospel seed. And yet many people are following after that, really thinking. And they use the illustration as a kind of parable that you use it as a farmer. Sows his seed and you get a harvest. That's true in farming. And that's true in sowing the gospel seed, too. There will be some that falls on good ground, but it's used out of context. And then, of course, we need to listen intently, avoid distractions. The devil would do everything he can to keep our mind off the preaching of the sermon. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to say, but it's not uncommon in any church, including this church. So somebody would come by sometimes and say, you know, so-and-so, the church didn't hear what you say. That's why. Because they were busy on their phone. It's not church down the street. Not church in another state. I'm telling you, that will take you away from this book. This is valuable time. And maybe sometimes that we have to have emergency and so forth. But when you come here, we want to say, Lord, I need what's going to be said for me, for my spirituality. Amen. I need to understand, Lord, something about you that I may not need. And right now, here's important portions of Scripture talking about this measure of faith. And as it grows, and I'm going to develop this more later. But this is now, he said, but if you will take what you've got and use it, then you will be given more abundantly. But if you don't use it, then it'd be taken away. In other words, I don't think God has to do anything. I just think he says if you don't use over a period of time, what you're doing will be more important than what God has said, and you'll just put it on the back burner and forget it. And then God may have to allow something to take place to wake us up again. I'm amazed today, and this blesses me more now than ever because I understand that. I'm amazed today what I remember, you know, 50, 60 years ago that I can't remember 2 years ago. Something in the past I got more occupied with and forgot things. Some things I'm glad I did forget. But there's some things I go back now, and I forgot things now that whereas I can't even remember 2 years ago, and for some reason now where I'm at causes me to think back further, and things come to my mind than what I'm thinking now. And sometimes I look at this, maybe if I'm not conforming, been transformed like God says I should be in the Word, when I have that opportunity to hear His Word, then it may have something come my way that God gets my attention that I won't forget what He said. And then I'll use my faith. And then in the wherever circumstances I'm at, I use my faith and God to be honored. I may be laying flat on my back in a nursing home somewhere or another, but God can still be honored. Because I reveal myself back to Him wherever I'm at, that He can be used for His glory. I'm not going to argue with God. I'm not going to question God. I believe He knows more than I know. I'm going to thank Him, though, for letting me know who I am and confirming that to my heart, and so should we all. So finally, we need to listen with respect and appreciate the Word of God. Then pray for the one who's teaching the Word. Who need that? The more you pray for an individual who teaches this book, and God has raised that position, then the more you appreciate the ministry that God has to give. You appreciate the fact that the nuggets in this book is not come just you phone them lying on top of the page. You read something, you read over it, and it amazes me the day how people can say they believe this book and then believe a person be saved all the way through Jesus Christ. They're missing something. Anytime someone tells you that a person can be born into the family of God without Jesus Christ, they don't know what the new birth is. So we have to have it in context. So again, take heed how you hear. God's message is very important, and it's a win-win proposition when we obey that. And so I say to you again, he says, take heed, therefore, how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given. That is, this hath comes because of obedience. Did you know the greatest thing in God's mind to us is obedience? I'm working on a message right now, have been for weeks, that God has really touched my heart about. And it goes back when I think about obedience. Obedience is a number of places God talks about his obedience. You know the reason why Adam and Eve fell? Because they disobeyed God. You know they could have obeyed God and we'd never be in the mess we're in. You know why the nation of Israel fell? And he didn't have but one command. I'm getting a message I'm working on now. See, you get pre-runs, and when you get it, he said, I've heard that. No, you're just getting in search of it. Because what? You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, they only had one rule to obey. That ought to be simple, hadn't it? Of all the things that God had made, there's only one rule they had to obey. Just one. Just one. No wonder God tells us when the law was given, you fit in one place, you'll give it the whole thing. And they couldn't keep that one. And then later God gave them 10 laws in Exodus 20. And then later he did something marvelous in the New Testament. Amen. In the New Testament. Glory to God. In the New Testament, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. And he talked about Israel and others, which Israel, those who are in Israel will be part of the church individually. Because Jew and Gentile are the same in the body of Christ now. He said, I'm going to write on my laws on your heart. You're just not going to have a set of rules that you can read and decide where I want to keep and not keep. There's no power in the law. The law can only condemn us. There's no power in the law saving us. And man fell, and so have we. And then we come down to the New Testament. God said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. For the first is not if good to the time again, but I'm making a new covenant with you. And my laws and my words going to be hid in your heart. You're not going to be by yourself. That's the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, God Almighty will bring conviction to your heart because you've not got a set of rules you're just trying to obey. God's Holy Spirit lives in you and I, and he said, I've written my laws in your heart, and the minute you do something I say not do, you'll be convicted about it. It's not a matter of going to look at the law again and see. He says, I'm already there. And that's the new child of God. That's the new nature. I'm already there. If a man tells me that he can live like the devil in this world and say he's still saved, he's mistaken because the Holy Spirit is in that individual. And God says, I'll write my laws in your heart. Go read it. You go to Romans and Hebrews, both of them, you'll find this. They'll not just be on tablets anywhere. The world gets upset because it's still on a set of tablets. It's good to remind us. But God said, that's not the reason now. You're my child. I made you alive. You're a new creation in Christ. You have a divine spirit, my spirit, Peter says. And it's that law in your heart that lets you know when something's wrong. You try it. If you're really genuinely saved, and the more you grow in grace and knowledge, the more that will activate your heart. The more you increase in faith, and God gives more faith, and the more abundant faith you have, the more that activates in your heart. And you try to dabble in something once in a while, and when you do that, God will bring conviction. And then if you get over that, it will be a little less and a little less until you can't hear the voice again. And then God may have to bring something back to get our attention. But if he does it because he loves us. But if we obey him and we listen to him, then that word of God in our heart, that the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wonder why he said that. Because that is the power we have. Because he is the word, and the written word tells us about the word, and the written word's hid in our heart where the word's at, because Jesus Christ is there. And that gives us that insight to know some just ain't right. Fellowship is just not there. And then when you confess that, confessment is just agreement anyhow. You know that? Confessing to God, just agreeing. God, you were right and I were wrong. And I want my fellowship restored. And when you get the fellowship restored, the whole life changes, it seems, at that moment. Just like when you got saved. Because when you and I trust the Lord as Savior, fellowship was with God at the moment we got saved. And then if a child of God gets down the road somewhere or another and gets out of fellowship with God, it won't be happy until that fellowship's been restored. And fellowship comes, it's just confession to God that he's right and we're wrong to have that fellowship. So take heed how you hear. God in heaven, thank you for the study tonight. Dear Lord, it's precious how this word that we are saved, the world laughs and mocks and thinks we're led around with an imaginary God and we've just been duped by some religious people. And Lord, we just got a religious, egotistical mind and nothing. But we know, Lord, praise God, you're more than nothing. You're not a big zero. Lord, you're the God of this universe. And Father, we look around and we see through eyes of faith what the world cannot see. Help us take heed what we hear. Help us have the ability to remove that which would be dross and stuff that would help keep us from growing. And help us, Lord, to be acted on that which is godly and biblically, and when we do that, Father, know that you hear our prayer, and know, Father, that you'll give us more faith and stronger faith, and when that happens, you'll raise us up in the ranks of your church to be what we need to be. We'll have that burden that God gives we didn't used to have. Well, I remember times I didn't have a burden as far as being a minister, and then I wanted to be an evangelist, Lord, and then I didn't have a burden of being a pastor. Now I have a burden of pastor. Lord, I remember when I didn't have those burdens. What brought that about? What I'm seeing right now, what I'm seeing that God has done by through obedience. Sometimes if we obey God, he just begins to let us grow. Lord, that means there's things in our life that I even try sometimes to justify doing. If it's hindering my testimony, if it's hindering my life for you, I'm going to lay them down. Because, Lord, that's what hinders. It's not big things sometimes in God's children's life that hinders. It's little things that they say that really don't matter. But if it hurts our testimony, if it hurts our witnesses, if it hurts us in the things we're trying to do for your glory in this life, then it becomes a problem. God, help us be able to just lay things down for your glory, because we love you and we know you love us. And dear Father, help us be that light that shines on a hill. We're not even trying to. We're just reflecting what you say and your light, Lord. We don't have no light in ourselves. It's your light. And that light comes when we tell people about Christ. That light comes when people see our lives change. That light comes even though there's dark specks in this new creation at times. That, dear Father, we know we don't have it all together at times. We know that we're in the flesh. And we know, Lord, there's times that things take place in this body that is just, we scringe because it should not. And we realize that the flesh is always there. Lord, I wish I could be in control 24 hours a day. But I have to admit, there's sometimes the flesh gets control. And dear Lord, I thank you that I can come to you and know that you renew the power and get me lining up into things that I need to know and do with your help. And when I fail to do that, there will be a conviction. Lord, I'm never going to deny a conviction to my heart about something that you're trying to show me that I should do and not do. And I trust you for that. Bless your people tonight because they came this way. And help us use what you've given us, dear Lord, that you'd give us more. Not financially, you bless us there, though it may affect that somewhere down the road for obeying you, because you can never obey you without being blessed. Lord, the fact is that what you give us spiritually, what you give us biblically, what you give us in the spiritual food for the new creation in Christ Jesus, we'll do our best to share it in context. For no other reason but to please you and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray.